called his wife in. Hey, how we doing at 4:05 on this Tuesday morning? McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We got Rami on the other side. One more hour until 5 a.m. and the warm-up show coming off an embarrassing defensive performance from the New York Jets as they went in to try and measure up. It was a measuring stick game. Who are we? Right, because there's been a lot of talk about who the Jets are, who the Jets can be, even from idiots like me. I've been telling you since Aaron Rodgers came here, I believe they are an AFC championship team. I believe in this roster. I believe in his defense. I believe in the weapons offensively. I even believe in the coach on some level. It's not that I believe in the coach. I just don't believe we know for sure he's a terrible head coach. But he didn't have a great day, and this defense got completely overrun. His baby, his defense, got completely manhandled by the defending NFC champion, by the best roster in football, the measuring stick. They didn't measure up. That's what we learned. I know a lot of people like to make declarative statements, and we even did it with the Giants yesterday. And maybe to, hopefully, I mean, maybe to our fault. Maybe we'll be wrong about the declarative statements we've made about Daniel Jones and the New York Giants after Sunday's performance. But a lot of people like to do it. It's football, you know, we do this in baseball. One of 162 we make declarative statements. But after this first week, the only thing I realize is that this team isn't ready to play the San Francisco 49ers. And that doesn't mean their season's doomed. And that doesn't mean this defense that, you know, likes to call themselves the 85 Bears or one of the better units in the sport. And we all talk about at least Saleh, even if he's not a great head coach, we know he can run a defense and all the different things. And obviously this brings into Hassan Reddick and all the different issues with this defense. But right now, as of last night, this team wasn't ready to show up and go play a team the caliber of the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I still saw a lot of good things. I'm sorry, for me, so much of this season is about Aaron Rodgers. And so much of it is about an actual functioning offense for the first time in the Robert Saleh era. And while he wasn't Hall of Fame Aaron Rodgers, he didn't have an opportunity to be, quite frankly. The time of possession was just so dramatic. I mean, the defense could not stop the run. As you heard in the update, Jordan Mason, who was filling in for a injured Christian McCaffrey, ran for 147 yards, and it felt like double that as the offense put up 400 yards. They didn't get after Purdy at all, and they just could not stop the run game. And you could see it early on. The first touchdown they scored after a couple field goals to make it 13-7 when they took their lead. I mean, they had a touchdown wiped back because of a penalty. They had a first down wiped out because of a penalty. I mean, the 49ers just kept pushing themselves back, and it didn't matter. They just continued to pound it down the Jets' throat until they got into the end zone. It was an embarrassing performance for this coach, an embarrassing performance for this defense. But before I'm ready to tell you this defense isn't good enough, before I'm willing to tell you that Joe Douglas has to go on hands and knees to go beg for Hassan Reddick to take a contract and come join this team, before I'm willing to tell you that this season is dead before it starts, I'm telling you right now, one bad performance on the road against the best roster in football only tells me that they are not there just yet. And they're about to still get an easy schedule that we've talked about for weeks. And they're about to be a road favorite in Tennessee. And I still believe in this team. And I did see enough offensively from Rodgers. I saw him make a throw across the field to a back shoulder Garrett Wilson. I did see him make a perfect throw to Lazard down the sideline just over the defender's helmet right into the bucket. I did see him take a free play and turn it into a touchdown like he's done so many times in his career. I did see enough to make me believe that the New York Jets do have a top-level quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. And I still believe in this group. I still believe in this team. I still believe in this defense that they could figure out a way to get it turned around. But it was a miserable performance. They were completely manhandled by the San Francisco 49ers. And it was an ugly way to start what everybody assumed was a very promising season here with a miserable 32-19 loss against the San Francisco 49ers. But I am not deterred. I still believe that this team can win. And they might by the end. They don't have to be up to the San Francisco 49ers right now. The 49ers are the best team they're going to play all year. They don't have to be up to the level of the San Francisco 49ers in week one. There are 16 more games. There are 17 more weeks for them to get to that place. And I still believe they can do it. Maury, tonight is your night, bro. What's going on? You're on the Fan.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
The combo, the combination. I think we have a coaching crisis here in the New York tri-state area. The crisis is both football coaches need to wake up. I think Saleh's a great defensive coach. I think that's where he needs to stay. And I think our Giant coach is really being, this is a year where he needs to prove himself. He came out so aggressive that first year, won an award.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened to his aggressive play calling.
Right?
I don't know.
That's what made him different, I think.
No, I mean, that two-point conversion to win the game in Tennessee on that opening game, it changed the entire feeling of the franchise.
I want that guy back. You're right. And then I got one thing on the Yankees. And I know Aaron, I always question the coach that we have there. But what you saw on display last night is it's not about having all the players out there. It's just about using that batting, that lineup to mix and match with Verdi and lefties and righties. And I think now with you use Boone and the way he thinks and the way he uses, you know, the computer, this is going to help us at least get four or five games ahead before the beginning of the playoffs. That's what I like to see.
Well, I mean, we'll see. They have their best roster now. That's the thing I'm concerned about. I believe Jason Dominguez is part of the best lineup. So now he's finally here. It's better late than never. You know me, the Yankee shill. I'm not going to scream and yell. I'm not going to scream and yell that it's a week and a half late.
I love you, Cashman.
There you go.
I love him.
I love you. You know, because I've watched the New York Giants crap all over themselves for a decade. Right? We don't have to get into it, but the New York Giants, we want to call the Yankees unserious. The New York Giants just gave me Sunday. I have seasons dead before Thanksgiving, dead before Halloween, over and over and over again. But I was screaming for them to bring up Dominguez. Now they've done it. I was screaming for them to stop playing DJ LeMahieu. I don't know if they purposely, you know, took him out back and hurt his hip, or they're lying about it, or he's had a hip. I'm sure they have to have proof. They've already seen, you know, a GM here in this town get in trouble for it. So I'm sure they have proof that he's been getting some sort of treatment on his hip for a while. But I've been screaming for DJ LeMahieu no longer be on this roster. He's not on the roster. I've been screaming for Jason Dominguez to be up here. He's up here. I'm not gonna continue to scream about it. Should have been a week ago. He's here. There's 18 games left. He impacted last night. He'll continue to impact games. The Yankees now have their best roster with 3 weeks to get ready for the playoffs. I'm happy about it. And he impacted the game. And before, when we come back after the break, I got a little other conversation about Jason Dominguez I want to have. But let's get back to your football calls really quick. Sal in Franklin Square. What's up, Sal?
How you doing?
Good, how are you, buddy?
You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
My first question was, how many games in a row the Giants lose before Daniel Jones gets pulled out of that division?
Yeah, it's got to be a couple games. I heard Gio as I was driving home yesterday, and I know people want to bench him. I can't have the year of Daniel Jones end week one. I understand I don't have any faith in him giving him I don't have any faith in him giving them a real chance to win. I know, but we're talking about Drew Lock and we're talking about Tommy DeVito, and this organization made a decision to give Daniel Jones at least part of this year. It's one game coming off an ACL. I'm as devastated about it as anyone. I'm sick of watching it. I haven't been a Daniel Jones guy his entire career here. I've been ready to move on for the last two seasons, practically. So I'm not optimistic about the future, but I can't pull the plug one game in. He's going to get Washington. He's going to get Washington. It's been the one team he's managed to play well against and win some games against, even at his worst. And, you know, to me, I gotta probably see this week coming up, and I probably gotta see next week. But week four against the Cowboys, that's when I'm willing to make. If they're 0-3, I'm willing to pull the plug.
I got another question.
Yeah.
If the Giants lose less than four games, if they win less than four games this season, you think they would change the head coach and GM? They remove both of them?
Yeah, I mean,
if they win.
It's such a hard answer. I think it's on the table. I think it's on the and thank you for the call, Sal. Calling from God's country in Franklin Square. Yes, I think it's on the table. I don't know how it could not be. And if it looks like, I mean, it depends. If it looks like Sunday, yes. If he continues to give you no offense, yes. Now, if what I just said happens and they go 0-3 and they make the switch and they decide to bench Daniel Jones because they don't believe in him, one, because two, the injury clause in his contract, and three, they don't think they have much of a chance of winning or any of those three. Like, if they play Drew Lock, if they play DeVito and just, like, they don't get much, I don't know. It's sort of giving up on the year, I suppose. I don't know. It's such a hard thing to, but here's what I'll tell you. You've got the greatest coach in history waiting in the wings doing the Manning cast, doing a fantasy football show. He's dying to come back, and I saw the clip. Typically, I watch more of the Manning cast than I do when it's the Giants or Jets. When it's either the Giants or Jets, and we got to focus on it here, I end up just watching the main broadcast almost exclusively. When it's random Monday nights, I'll watch a little bit more of the Manning cast. Bill Belichick, and I saw the thing with him and Eli, and he refused to insult Eli because of the fear of the comebacks he could have, which he has taken liberties against Brady, and I'm sure he would take liberties against Belichick for beating him twice in the Super Bowl. But with that cloud hanging over it, and make no mistake, now the only question would be what Bill Belichick wants to do with the rest of his career. Does Bill Belichick want to come here with the Giants and take on a bit of a project without a quarterback, either draft one or figure it out? Or does he want to go to a more stable situation with at least a quarterback? I don't know how he views it as his age. I don't think the premise of taking over the Giants without a quarterback, but building the Giants up and trying to turn it into, you know, Patriot South, I think that's an endeavor he'd be willing to take on to fix the Giants franchise. Like, I still think he feels he has that many years in him. I don't think he's looking for one or two more years with get a Super Bowl and be done with it. I don't think the prospect of fixing the Giants and building from scratch and creating his atmosphere inside the Giants organization is something that he would run from. But with him waiting and the offensive coach not getting any offense, like, and winning 3, 4, 5 games, yeah, I think there's a chance. I think there's a big chance. Oh, I think there's a chance, Jerry. Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hi, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
The worst thing happened tonight.
The worst
now,
thing?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you why what happened.
Okay.
Me and my kids set up about 8:10. Pizza came. My chicken parm came. Everything came. Yep. I'm in front of the TV. My kids get off the channel. We turn to turned to ABC on DirecTV.
Yeah.
Black screen.
Yeah.
They're in negotiations with DirecTV, with Disney. No game. Imagine.
Oh, you couldn't figure out a way. Did you figure out a way to stream it or something?
Oh, listen to me. I was gonna get Spectrum for a trial. I don't want to take a chance, man.
Yeah.
You have no idea. But judging from what happened throughout what I heard on the results, I don't feel too bad.
No, but you did miss Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform, actually leading a touchdown drive, completing passes, throwing a touchdown pass, actually being part of the Jets franchise. You got to see it. Amazingly enough, you got to see it. Julian in California. What's up, Julian?
Hey, how you doing, boss?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good, good. So I just want to start off. Tonight's actually the first time listening to your show. Mm-hmm. Really enjoy it. So
I decided
to call in.
Sure.
Yeah. It's 1:19, so it's not bad. But so I'm a Giants fan. I was born and raised in New York, Westchester County. Moved out here to California about sixth grade. And I started watching the Giants 2016-17 when they made the playoffs.
Okay.
And then we lost to Green Bay.
I remember.
Very high note, correct? But these years, man, just I've only seen my, like, when I started watching football, I only saw my team made the playoffs twice. So it's been just rough.
Yeah.
As a Giants fan. And, like, just this season, just after the playoff season against the Vikings, I feel like that win really set us back a little bit.
Yes.
Would you agree? Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
No, I disagree just a little bit. A whole lot of it.
Well, because I felt like we were obligated to pay Daniel Jones.
Absolutely.
After his performance against the Vikings.
Yep.
And although I think there's more problems, like more than Daniel Jones, obviously, but I just feel like that big contract, you know, I know we have a way out this year, after this year.
Yeah.
But it's just, rough, you know what I'm saying? So, but I did want to tell you this.
Okay.
So, obviously, after the game, you saw the fans booing, correct?
Yes.
And I listened before. We got Washington next week, and Daniel Jones has been good against Washington.
Yes.
Thankfully, division rival. Do you really think he turns the page here, or what do we think? Like,
yeah,
what
no. No, I don't. Thank you for the call. No, I mean, is there a chance he plays well against Washington? I mean, if he doesn't play better, it's almost impossible to not play better. He has to play better. He has to. And he has played well against Washington, you're right. Even in his struggles, even in his lowest moments, he's found a way to beat Washington. The Giants have, even when they've won 3-4 games a year. One of those games has always been Washington. But no, I think what I have thought for a long time, that Daniel Jones is not the future of this team. And yesterday, or Sunday, excuse me, he looked broken. He looked broken. He looked worse than I could have imagined. Now, I know the rust coming off an injury. Kirk Cousins didn't look good for Atlanta, coming off the Achilles injury. Aaron Rodgers, I thought, looked, you know, pretty good. Not great, but pretty good, coming off of his Achilles injury.
How great did J.K. Dobbins look coming off of his
injury? That's true. Yeah, Dobbins looked great. But I'm willing to give him a slight of rust, but, I mean, he couldn't hit anything. Every single pass was behind someone or at someone's feet. I mean, it was just, he can't hit layups. He can't make the easiest of throws right now. He looks completely lost. He stares down his one receiver. It was an atrocious display of quarterback play. Just atrocious. The same thing again. I mean, he's got an edge rusher off the edge. He's got a rusher off the edge, unblocked. It's year six. He's got to know that guy is coming off the edge unblocked. And that's something he has to recognize at the line of scrimmage and move the line, call a hot route, get rid of the ball immediately. He doesn't. He just takes a three-step back and just takes the sack. Like, it's just unbelievable how bad he was in that game. So if you're asking me, will he turn the corner? No. Will he turn the page? No. Will he be better? How can you not be? He's got to be better. But is it going to be good enough for me to have faith in him? No. Is it good enough where I think he's going to finish out this season as the Giants' starting quarterback? No. He's not. He is not going to finish the season out as the starting quarterback. 888-808-1019. He's on the line. The biggest Daniel Jones truther of them all, who sat out yesterday, just, I suppose, to compose himself, get his thoughts together, gain his confidence back after watching that display of football that Daniel Jones and the Giants put forth on Sunday. We will hear from Brent Long Island, who I can't wait to hear what he has to say. I also want to tell you a little bit about Jason Dominguez and something that he wrote in the Players Tribune and an interesting little tidbit from it that I'm very surprised he put down on paper. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back with your calls next right here on The Fan.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 428, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Half hour left till we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. So obviously, both of our football teams here get off to losing starts. The Jets last night, Monday night, football on Santa Clara, playing the San Francisco 49ers, defending NFC Championship 49ers, and they got absolutely throttled and manhandled, and that defense, which is supposed to be a given, supposed to be their best unit, supposed to be a championship-caliber defense, got absolutely run over by a backup running back in Jordan Mason with McCaffrey missing the game. And they got out-coached, and they got out-played, and they got out-toughed. And this roster, which is the best roster in the sport, no doubt about it, with San Francisco, I mean, that's how good it is. It's as good as any. Just completely dismantled that Jet defense. And they're going to have to figure out a way to be better. But we did see Aaron Rodgers. The offense did look relatively functioning. Had its moments. Missed some plays, no doubt. Dropped third down on the first drive. A fumble on the second drive. And ultimately hardly had the ball because the defense couldn't stop the run. An ugly loss, but still, to on the road to start their year against one of the better teams in the sport, if not the most talented. So I feel like that's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to grow and get better. And I still, as long as Aaron Rodgers made it through healthy, you take it as a first step loss that you can improve on. And the Giants just got absolutely run over by the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. And Daniel Jones put forth a quarterback display that is hard to defend. And it's impossible to watch. And going back and looking at some of the replays a day later, it's even worse. But this is where the Giants are. It's the year of Daniel Jones. It's going to be around for a few weeks. And we'll have to see what happens. And we'll see if anybody can defend it. And if there is one person out there who will try, I'm assuming, unless even he's at his breaking point, is Brett in Long Island. Brett, how did Sunday go for you, Brett?
Hey, Chris, I would have called yesterday, but I was in a dentist chair getting mouth surgery, so
at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, it was later on at 9, but I was getting ready for it.
Of course.
Chris, I just want to start by saying also that, I'm in a group text with three of my childhood friends, and they had bets that I wouldn't make it past week four, and I deleted it, and I was making it. I made it the whole game, and I deleted it. And like, I'm not talking to two of them right now because of the hate of the Giants, and that's a different level, like the hatred.
Okay.
You know, kicking somebody when they're down. But
sure.
I want to say this about Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
It's one game.
Yeah.
One game. Mm-hmm. If we beat Washington this week, we're going to revisit it. It's like if we would have won, do I call and brag, oh, my God, he threw for 300 yards? I wouldn't. It's one
game.
You
want to bet?
So
You would have.
If you beat Washington, two games on them right away. How's that looking for them? Right off the bat, you go 1-1. You turn this around. He's 5-1 against them, and then you go against the Browns. I watched the whole game. They look terrible.
No, I know they
look
terrible.
So we might be revisiting this at 2-1.
Did you watch him play?
I'm just saying.
Did you watch him play the game on Sunday?
This is how I know there's Giants haters. You got to separate this.
He was
Chris,
atrocious.
How did the defense look for starters? Sam Darnold, right, who everybody made fun of, like Daniel Jones, looked like Joe Montana. That has nothing to do with Daniel Jones, okay?
No, you're right. That part has nothing to do with it. He went 12 for 12 right down the field. Played very well in the first half. Then he didn't have to do anything because the Giants were unable to do anything offensively. And you want to talk about the defense?
You agree this is a Giants issue or a Daniel Jones issue? Really? And the memes are all Daniel Jones. But, guys, there's a big problem here with the Giants. It's bad.
Yeah.
The Giants' product is bad.
Yeah, the Giants' product is bad.
And you guys are maniacs. You're all over Daniel Jones with memes all over social media. The Giants
you
are a
told
team.
Me just, he has the
delusional.
Best wide receiving core he's ever had. You told me that they've got the revamped offensive line. You told me you were picking them for the knockout pool, that they're going to dominate the Minnesota Vikings. You told me to look out for the New York Giants. You told me Daniel Jones would answer all of the haters and answer all the questions. And instead, he looked like a guy who can't play the position. Not poor, not just struggling. He looked like he doesn't know how to play the game. He was atrocious. He missed every single throw. He was horrendous. His footwork was terrible. His accuracy was terrible. He didn't look off receivers. He threw a pick six again, of course, to a defensive lineman. He threw an interception in the end zone by staring down the receiver. He could not have played worse. It was the worst display of quarterback. And you mentioned the Cleveland game. Watson plays in this league. And still, the worst display of quarterback in the entire NFL. It didn't come from Carolina. It didn't come from anywhere else but the New York Giants. It was atrocious.
Will you change your opinion?
No. Nope, I won't. Will I change my opinion? Will I change my opinion on what happened yesterday? No. No, I won't change my opinion, Brett. And I'm sorry, I can't answer that question again. I just can't. I can't let you come on here and just go with, well, everything could change. You didn't address it once. You blame the defense. You said it's a giant problem. You mentioned your personal text messages. You mentioned memes on social media. You did everything else, but tell me what you thought of how Daniel Jones played the game on Sunday. He was hideous. He looks broken. He looks like he's got zero confidence. He's a six-year quarterback who can't recognize what to do with the ball. He's a six-year quarterback who can't recognize an unblocked man coming off the edge. He's a six-year quarterback who is playing the worst football of his career. And by the way, that goes back and dates back further than just Sunday. He was terrible last year, too. So I'm sorry. No, I won't change my mind. Is there a chance Daniel Jones plays better on Sunday? It's impossible not to. Is there a chance he wins the game against Washington? I suppose. Is there a chance he's the future quarterback of the New York Giants? Zero. Zero. Is there a chance he finishes the season as the starting quarterback of the New York Giants? Damn near zero. I'm tired of everyone has to change their mind but you, Brett. Everyone has to see something, and will that change their mind? When will you change your mind, Brett? How many losses, how many ugly displays, how much nonsense do you have to watch before you change your mind? You're losing friendships over Daniel Jones, defending this. And listen, I don't dislike Daniel Jones as a person, and I do think that it's, you know, ridiculous to go wait for him just to boo him as he's walking home or walking to his car. It's ridiculous. Burning jerseys in the parking lot, ridiculous. But everyone's got to change their mind but you. Well, it'll be a whole new conversation. What do you think the conversation will be next week if they beat the Washington Commanders? What do you think the conversation is? You think he's going to throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdown passes? What do you think the conversation is with Daniel Jones next week? Because I'll tell you. When are we playing Drew Lock? That's the conversation. For now and for always. Man, oh man. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, C-Man. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Must say, man, it was a great night for me last night as a Niners and Yankee fan. I was living in a nice world last night.
Yeah, finally. not so bad, not so bad.
Yeah, would say one thing though, you know, as a Niners fan that follows the Jets closely, I would say Jets fans, don't be worried about your team. The Niners are one of the best running teams in the NFL. You know, and it's not just our linemen that's anchored by Trent Williams. We got the best run blocking receiver in Ayuk, mm-hmm. best run blocking tight end in Kittle, best run blocking fullback in Kyle Juszczyk. When CMC McCaffrey went out, you know, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of Niners fans, right? We were happy to see Jordan Mason. Even though we were kind of upset that McCaffrey was out, we sort of expected it, but we were happy to see Mason get a full-time workload because over the past couple of years, when he did get a couple carries a game, he was great. He was great the past few years.
Well, he dominated the game last night, that's for sure. And again, it just, as we live in a world where the running back position has been so devalued, right? And specifically with the New York Giants, we talk about Saquon Barkley and what he meant to the team offensively, and now he's with the Giants didn't want to pay him. He's with Philadelphia, 3 touchdowns first game, blah, 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 the whole bit. I mean, you could look at last night and start to think, like, this is why the running back position is devalued. Not to knock Jordan Mason. I'm sure he's a very good running back. He looked like he was running pretty damn hard. You know, Troy Aikman said it looks like Marshawn Lynch running. But they went, Christian McCaffrey went down. The best running back in the sport. Highest paid running back in the sport. Offensive player, you know, one of the great players in the league. They brought in Jordan Mason and didn't miss a damn beat. He ran for 140 yards and ran it right down the throat of the New York Jets. If you have a good offensive line and if you have a good run scheme, you don't need Saquon Barkley to win. You don't need Christian McCaffrey to win. Now, if I'm not saying that on days where the run isn't working that you want a player who can have a game-changing play. And of course, there's value to the team. There's value to the to those players. But you got to have the roster if you want to pay them. And the Giants just don't have the roster to pay Saquon Barkley. And honestly, if they ever fix the offensive line, you don't need them. And that's why the position's been devalued. Because they get hurt, because of how many times they get hit, and because if you have a good offensive line and a Shanahan's your head coach, Jordan Mason will run right through the Jets like a hot knife through butter. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:45, McMonagle here with you. 15 minutes left until the warm-up show at 5. Want to get through as many phone calls as we can coming off this miserable Tuesday as both these football teams that we root for are 0-1. Jets are in dead last as everyone else in the division got a victory. And a disappointing performance from the defense, which was supposed to be a given against the 49ers, who, as we were just talking about, Jordan Mason, the backup running back, torched them for 147, 400 total yards of offense, double, nearly doubled time of possession, and the Jets gave up 8 straight possessions with points. Points in 8 straight possessions. Every one of those stats does not make you think good defense. 400 yards, way too many. 147 rushing yards to a backup running back, way too many. Time of possession, 39 minutes, way too many. 8 straight possessions with a score? Unacceptable. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning to you, sir. What's going on?
It's all right. I feel like Rendon had a decent start besides the 2 home runs. I mean, 9 strikeouts I liked.
I thought it was right. It's my favorite start of the year for Carlos Rodon because he overcame obstacles that were put there by other people. Typically, when things go wrong for him, whether it's the pitch clock in his most previous blow up a couple starts ago, or infield singles, balls hitting off a base for a base hit, or errors behind him, and that's what happened in this game. First pitch of the game, he gets an easy ground ball to Jazz, and he throws it in the dirt, and Rizzo's unable to scoop it. Then Pham tries to steal second base. The ball goes into the outfield, gives up the base hit for an easy first run of the game, and then he gets out of the inning. Then you have a drop pop up in the sixth. Like any one of those things in previous starts that make you fear him having a postseason start, he unravels at any one of those. And yesterday, he was able to battle through them, gave up the 2 solo home runs outside of them, and struck out 9 batters. I was pleasantly surprised at his ability to handle the mishaps behind him.
Yeah, I was very impressed. And Wells looking great. I mean, he's definitely looking like a Rookie of the Year candidate. I mean, I'm not saying he's leading, but he's definitely a flip on the radar for that. And what do you think of Judge tonight? Because he's 0-for-5 against Lugo and putting Stan in the DH tonight, the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll sit Judge right now in a pennant race. They're giving him DH days to get him off his feet a little bit. I would expect him to be back in the lineup. I know he's 0-for-5. It's a small sample size. Right now, I'm more concerned just about him struggling. Like, that's a better argument than just he's struggled against Lugo. Right now, I know he had an RBI single in this game. He's gotten a couple hits over the last couple days, but he hasn't hit a home run since the Colorado series. It's been, 10, 12 games now? And he really hasn't had – he's missed pitches he doesn't miss. Like, that's the – even with the singles, like, he's just missing pitches he typically doesn't miss. And they need the best of him immediately. Like, because, again – like, we could talk about how can you not give Aaron Judge in his prime the best chance to win? How do you not go all in and make sure the roster is this or that? Like, part of it is he has to do some hitting. Like, him and Soto have to perform in the postseason, and they're not going to win.
And the double play tonight wasn't one of those that Boone likes to talk about. Oh, he just hit it hard right at someone. That was like a squibber off the bat.
Yeah, he didn't have a good... Short. Yeah, I mean, it was the game was already out of reach at that point. The Yankees were in good standing. But yeah, he's had double plays. He's put the ball on the ground a lot. Even the base hit was a ground ball through the hole between short and third. He's not been lifting the air. I think if you look at the numbers, and you know, for some reason I look at this stuff and read this stuff, he did hit a ball in Chicago the last day there the other day that would have been a home run under normal circumstances. The wind was blowing in crazy, and no one hit a home run in that entire series. So there was a swing. I think Stanton hit one that if you take launch angle, you take the angle and the velocity off the bat, that it's a home run in any other circumstance. Same thing with Judge, got one where the angle and the exit velo would normally mean home run, but he's just not been driving the baseball, and he's got to come through. He's got to be hot. That's it. We could talk about who's around him, and the lineup's not good enough, and you need Dominguez in there and a Nuffel and Mayhew, and we could have all these conversations, and they're all fair, and they're all true. If Judge doesn't hit, if Soto doesn't hit, they're not going to win. But that goes for almost any team in baseball. Right? That's just the way it is. If the Orioles get to the postseason and Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman don't do anything, they're not going to win. Santander, like, your best hitters have to hit. That's why the Rangers are terrible this year. Why? Because Seager's been injured a little bit, and Garcia is a shell of himself. Why'd they win in the World Series? Because both those guys you couldn't get out. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good. Before I touch on the Mets, I lost two great men yesterday.
Yes.
James Earl Jones and Ed Cranepool.
Yes. Ed Cranepool played the most games in Mets franchise history. Obviously, a terrible day for Mets fans. Ed Cranepool, beloved by the fan base. Sad to hear of that passing. And then, yes, James Earl Jones, who obviously in one of my favorite movies as a child, Field of Dreams. They will come, Ray. They will most definitely come. And then, of course, the voice of Mufasa in The Lion King, the voice of Darth Vader, and then a brief role in another one of my favorite childhood movies, The Sandlot. So he's all over. Absolutely. He's all over my childhood.
Yeah, that very James much Earl into Jones. Sports. He also was the Korean, the American coach in the martial arts and Best of the Best. So he played a great role in that too.
He was in Best of the Best. Team. You're right. So,
two things on the Mets real quick. You know, you just mentioned as far as the hitting, seems like they're going through a little cold spell with the hitting the last couple
a little bit,
games.
But their pitching has been so damn good.
If there was, absolutely. But, you know, they're still finding ways to win, which is great. And if there was ever a game where McGill had to put out a great outing, yesterday was it. Especially
to get the spot start, because Blackburn goes down. Yep. You got to get a spot start. He gives you six innings of one hit baseball. I mean, the Mets now, their starting pitching has been incredible. I mean, that's what's carrying them. I didn't think they had another unit outside of their offense that could carry them. I thought the pitching all year has been good enough not to kill them. The bullpen at times has been better. Buto, who gave up two runs in yesterday's game, kind of changed the dynamic of the bullpen a few weeks ago or a month and a half ago or so. Obviously, Diaz has been much better since his blow-up against the Diamondbacks. So, like, the bullpen, all right, maybe it won't kill you. There's some legitimate options out there. The start of the year, Reed Garrett at whatever time, like, but there's only been one part of the team that could carry them and that was carrying them back into this playoff picture, and that was the offense, as they were just slugging up and down the lineup. And right now, during this 9-game winning streak and 10 out of 11, it's without question the starting pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I was there Saturday. It was a great atmosphere. You know, let's just keep the momentum going. If they can keep winning the series, they should be in good shape. But let's keep it going for the last couple weeks, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. You have a great morning.
You got it. Thank you, Eric. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah, no, listen, right now they're a game up on Atlanta. They're playing the Blue Jays, who have just, you know, had a miserable season. And, you know, Atlanta just can't hit. They're dealing with injuries, yes, but still, to be shut out by Cincinnati. They're just, I thought for sure. Now, look, it's the Mets, Right. I don't want to just say, hey, Atlanta's folded here. The Mets have won 10 out of 11. So it's the Mets. The Mets deserve immense credit. But I'm surprised still the Braves went and immediately lost 3 out of 4 to Philadelphia. The offense is still floundering. They lost one game to Colorado. They just got shut out by Cincinnati. Like, I expected them to be a little bit tougher to catch. But when you win 10 of 11, I mean, you're the story. I don't want to make any bones about it. They have been the reason they have gotten back in this thing. I remember filling in with Marash in the afternoon after they blew that Arizona save, and it's a four-game deficit to the Braves, and I was just like, I mean, I respect the Mets, and I think they'll make this thing a contest here till the end, but the Braves are just too good, too proven, play their best baseball in September year in and year out for me to have faith that the Mets are going to be able to catch them. And they've made up 5 games.
We didn't even talk about the Mets that day. Remember, they had the day game in Arizona, the last game of the series.
Right.
And we're like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, once the game started, coming, we stopped talking about them. And it was just like, my feeling was the excitement that could have been. Because that game that they blew, obviously, they were losing 4-0. They rallied back. They took the lead, made it 5-4. And then Diaz obviously blows the game. And it was just, oh, what it could have been heading into that final game against Arizona, looking for a sweep, as opposed to they blew the game. Atlanta had won the night before. And now it's, instead of 3 with a chance to make it 2, possibly, with a sweep of the Diamondbacks, it's back to 4. And it just felt like, oh, I mean, does this game even matter? Like, that's what it felt like for me, at least. I'll be open about it. I didn't call them dead. I just said what could have been had they won that game last night, the enthusiasm we'd be heading into this last Diamondbacks game to compare to what it feels like now. And from that moment on, they just went on an absolute tear. And again, they're doing it in a multitude of ways. I mean, they got 3 hits last night. 3 hits. They scored 2 runs in the 8th on wild pitches. I mean, they are finding ways to win, and they're pitching unbelievably well. And I mean, last night, case in point, I mean, what Peterson is doing, crazy. What Manaea is doing, crazy. Severino's giving you a great performance, pushed through the innings limits, all that, impressed with him. Quintana, a little bit up and down, but gave you good performances last time out, and you know what to expect from him. Like, but McGill, on short notice, 6 innings, 1 hit? Like, they can do no wrong right now. It's amazing what they're getting from their starting pitching. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Christopher.
Yes, sir.
Do you think I should be down about the Jets?
I don't think you should be overly down. I think it's disappointing because you take the defense as kind of a given. Now, not a given to be the best defense in the league necessarily, but a given where it's not going to just lie down and die, and that's kind of what it felt like last night. So I wouldn't be down on the Jets, but if you had thoughts, like I did, that the Jets are one of the premier teams in the NFL, the 49ers told you there is a class that the Jets are not ready to get to. Now, it's week one. You have another 16 games. There's a good chance, and I'm hoping they get there by the end of the year, but it ain't now. They got embarrassed last night. But no, I wouldn't be overly down on the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers is coming in.
Aaron Rodgers played the game. Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown pass. Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and he'll be ready to go next week. Those are the main positives, and they are, if you want to make them, the bigger story than even losing the game and the defense. You can.
Derek Wilson, they all look good. Even Tyrod Taylor coming in, I realized they were softening up the defense.
Sure.
But would Zach Wilson have done that? No.
No. You never know. But yes, do you feel more confident if, in fact, Aaron Rodgers goes down for a brief time? Yes. I don't think there's anything you could do if Aaron Rodgers is done for the year. If Aaron Rodgers has a devastating injury like last year, c'est la vie. But if Aaron Rodgers, you know, pulls a calf and needs 3-4 weeks, if Aaron Rodgers does something and needs, you know, 3-4 games, do you feel comfortable that Tyrod Taylor could come in and still win games with this offense and this team? Absolutely. And that is far better than what it was last year. Far better. So, I mean, I did see positives out of last night. But that doesn't change the fact that your defense, that is kind of what you're banking, is you're proven that you don't have to worry about, just got absolutely manhandled. Didn't just get beat. I mean, got physically manhandled. And that's a tough pill to swallow. Bernadette in Oceanside. Hello, Bernadette. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to talk about the Giants and their debacle of the game.
Yes.
And I just want to say that to my friend who badmouthed me the other day.
I hung up on him and I didn't allow it.
I heard him and tell him the only thing I'm going to niche for him is a ball gag.
Okay. A ball gag. Well, Bernadette, we'll end it there. We're going to knit some ball gags. Interesting. Interesting choice. But yes, Bernadette, he had no reason to say anything cross about you, and I made sure he was clear on it. And quite frankly, he probably owes you an apology. And we'll work on that. That's it for me. Thank you. Ball gag. Didn't see that one coming. Everybody, try to enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. What the hell? It's coming anyway. It'll get better, Jet fans. Giant fans, I'm not so sure. But we also have Pennant Race Baseball. Just baseball tonight. Enjoy. I'll catch you guys tomorrow at 2 a.m. Warm-up show is next. Rami, thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.